You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting bits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. And we bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics prepared that we would like to share with you and chat about. But sometimes we'll go off the path if we have to. Thank you for tuning in for another interesting episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. This is an interesting one. We got a lot to get to in the world of sports and entertainment and, of course, odd news. Before we delve into all of those topics that we have planned, we'd like to do a little personal introduction, let you know what we've been up to in the past week. So, Mike, how you doing? What's the latest since last time we got together?
Well, I spent a good portion of my weekend building furniture, which was not how I envisioned it. But I've been recently buying a whole bunch of like new furniture for my room, and so that's what I had to do. I had to move the old stuff out and then build the new stuff. And building furniture is like always an event. Have you ever built? Have you built much furniture?
I've assembled furniture.
Okay. Well,
I've never built furniture.
I guess assembled is a better,
I don't go off into this old house and, and go into the wood shop and make my own things.
I stand corrected. I was not building furniture. I was assembling furniture.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you bought this at like IKEA.
Not IKEA. No, I bought, one on Amazon and one from Target. I had to sign up for a Target account to buy this piece of furniture.
Target.
That's right. Fancy. But this is weird. This is going to sound weird to say, but I really enjoy assembling furniture. It's like a puzzle to figure out, you know? No, you don't feel the same
okay.
way?
Okay.
I'm just super weird then.
It's just weird that you're waxing poetic about this.
You don't enjoy assembling furniture?
I mean, it's fun. I think it's fun to get new furniture.
Yeah, but it's fun to put it together too. It's like you open up the little box, you sort out all your tools and your pieces, and it's like doing a giant really heavy, cumbersome puzzle. And there's just like this sense of satisfaction. Like it started out as this like banged up box from Amazon, and then all of a sudden it ends up being this nice looking like bookcase. You know? I don't know.
Okay.
I felt a sense of pride and accomplishment that I went out and I bought my own furniture and I built my furniture and I moved my furniture. I was like, yeah.
Okay, good.
Like I was putting together a giant puzzle. It was fun.
All right. So whenever my mom buys weird stuff from like Home Goods or Big Lots, I'm gonna call you up and you're gonna
give me a call. I'll come by with my Allen wrench, my trusty Allen wrench, my Phillips head screwdriver, and I'll get the work and it'll be built before you know it.
Okay, all right. I'm calling you up. There you go.
I like assembling furniture. I shouldn't say this on a podcast. People are gonna be like, "Oh, can you come assemble my furniture?"
Yeah, there you go. Tweet at Mikey Costanzo. He wants to put together your furniture.
Absolutely. Tweet at me. And I will, for a small fee, assemble your furniture. Not for you, Rich.
Do you like following that like progression of like step by step?
There is a certain yes. I do like the procedure and the process of it.
Okay.
Like a
because you mentioned that you've also liked jury duty.
Yes.
I'm wondering if this is like a theme with you that you like progression.
It is. Well, yes. When there is a way to track progression, it's the same way with me in video games. If there's a checklist, you better be damn sure I have to complete that checklist.
Yeah, you're a completionist.
I'm a completionist. So there is like this weird, and this is going to sound really weird, one of the most fun tasks I ever had when I was tutoring at the college level was they gave me a spreadsheet and they're like, enter this data. And I was like, you got it. And I was just tearing through it. And there was just this sense of satisfaction of just watching the pile of things that I had to put into this Excel spreadsheet shrink and the pile of completed ones grow. I don't know why. It was, like, totally bizarre. I was, like, I felt like there was a marked trajectory of what I had accomplished. Because a lot of tasks are sort of nebulous. You know, you do something and you don't really know. You don't find out right away whether it was good, whether it was bad. It was sort of, at least in my current line of work. But there's something about checking off tick, you know, check boxes that is compelling to me. Yes, there is.
Huh, okay.
This has got weird psychoanalytical. Yeah. I don't know if I'm entirely thrilled with the direction of this conversation.
Yes.
But yeah.
So all of the psychiatrists out there, let us know.
What is wrong with me? I can't figure it out.
Yeah, let us know what the diagnosis is here.
Let me know what's going on
in
my head.
Very
I can't
analytical.
Figure it out. Yeah, no, I do like the process of it. Absolutely. That was a very astute observation.
Okay, interesting.
Less process-oriented. I'm also a man of the arts, and I watched A Star Is Born.
Okay.
And it was fantastic. Lady Gaga did a good job, an admirable job. I could see why she didn't win Best Actress. She was good, but I don't know whether it was me personally. I couldn't get over the thought, like, this is Lady Gaga. You know, I'm watching.
Something just came over me, and I took my clothes off.
Yeah, like, there was a weird hurdle that I couldn't... couldn't clear, you know?
Well, you were thinking about Lady Gaga with her clothes off?
Something just came over me, and I took my clothes off.
As one does.
Ah, okay.
Of course, yes.
At least you're honest.
Yeah, no, I mean, and she took her clothes off in the movie, so you don't really have to think that
hard.
Oh,
all right, never mind. Yeah, so it's all good.
Yeah.
Something just came over me, and I took my clothes off.
But actually, on a serious note, I didn't think I was going to enjoy the movie as much as I did. I was really pleasantly surprised. It was really compelling from start to finish. Just this rise and fall and everything in between. I think there were some pacing issues. Like, I don't think this is spoiling anything to be like to say that this that the main character Lady Gaga was like discovered out of nowhere and like had this crazy rise to stardom. That's fairly generic. I think it happened way too fast. Like within the first 10 minutes of the movie. Bradley Cooper was like, he's like, just got done a show, and he's like, I'm going to go to this random bar for reasons unknown. He's like, oh, that person can sing. Let me take you out on a date to the supermarket for some reason. I don't even know. I lost track of what was happening. And then he's like, why don't you come to the show that I'm doing tomorrow? And she does, and he drags her on the stage and forces her to sing, and she's a star. A star is born. Like, in an evening. I was like, I don't know. I know movies are, you're supposed to, you know, have this suspension of disbelief, but I felt like it was asking way too much of me.
Way too much.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe that's just me personally. Overall, great movie. Highly recommended. The music is fantastic. Shallow and all those other songs, really, really good. So definitely go check that out. Stars Burnt, Born. Stamp
Stars
off.
Burnt?
Star is Burnt.
Oh, no!
I also burned my finger this weekend, so that's why I got burns on the mind. But, yeah, Star is Born.
Costanzo is Burnt.
Stamp of approval. Costanzo was burned. That's the sequel coming out in 2021. It's in pre-production right now. I'm slowly going to burn.
No, it's actually in production now because you burnt your finger.
Yes. Well, 1 out of 10.
Yes.
You got to burn all 10.
Ooh. So that's a really difficult shooting schedule.
Well, you know, I am dedicated to seeing things through to completion.
That's right. Like
process
we said earlier.
Right. I got one down, 9 to go. Let's go. Let's go, microwave pizza or frozen pizza.
Okay.
Let's do it.
There you go.
So I was burning fingers, building furniture, and watching A Star Being Born. Rich, what did you do this weekend? Or since we were last together?
Yeah. The big thing that I want to mention is I went to go see WWE Raw.
Oh, nice. Now
came to town.
You're a huge wrestling fan.
I do. I love wrestling. So this was right up my alley.
I'm talking to you, kid. I'm going to make your mother go woo, woo, woo.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was a lot of fun to be there and actually see, you know, how they do the show. Live, something that I didn't that I had to explain to people. You know how sometimes like you get bored, you're waiting for like the next thing to happen during like a sporting event,
right?
So people start either doing like the wave or like an Eagles chant or something like that,
right?
In wrestling, they just do a whole bunch of woo across like one side of the arena to the other,
okay?
And that's it.
I'm talking to you, kid. I'm gonna make your mother go woo woo woo.
Yeah. And so, like, I'm with two friends, and they're like, what is happening? And I'm like, yeah, it's Ric Flair. Woo!
Was Ric Flair there?
No.
Oh, but that just became a thing.
Yeah, because it was so popular in the wrestling world. So instead of, like, doing, like, an Eagles chant or, like, the wave, you just hear a whole bunch of woo, woo,
and
woo,
it just travels around,
around
the stadium.
Yeah,
nice.
So that was a lot of fun.
Was this your first wrestling event that you went to, like a WWE wrestling event?
Yeah.
So this was sort of like a dream come true type moment to always see a wrestling event.
I had seen like independent wrestling shows, but
never one of the
full blown WWE show.
Nice.
And yeah, it was a blast. We picked a very good night for Raw to come into Philly, because a lot of things happened that were pretty big in terms of because they're leading up to WrestleMania right now.
Okay.
WrestleMania is in a month.
Okay.
So it's like all the storylines are starting to hit their peak. All
right.
So we had a lot of good content with like the Shield, which is a very popular wrestling stable, reunited. Ronda Rousey was there. She had a moment where she took out a couple girls, like, and issued like a challenge that I'm going to defend the title and all this stuff. Triple H had a classic promo inside the ring, which was great because I followed Triple H ever since he first started.
Right.
So it was great. It was great to actually be there and be a part of it.
Oh, that's awesome.
There is one thing that I have to mention, though.
Uh-oh.
And
is this a negative or a positive?
Because
the way you say it, it almost sounds like you're gearing up to lambast somebody.
Yeah, it's a negative, but it's because he's a heel, so he's trying to be a negative.
Oh, okay.
A wrestler named Elias.
I don't know.
He's noted for playing the guitar and singing a song.
Okay.
If he wants to. And
in the middle of the match?
No, before the match.
Oh, okay.
And now he's doing this thing where he taunts the city that he's in because he's a heel.
Uh-oh.
And he had a song ready for Philadelphia.
Oh, boy.
And,
all right. What do you have to say?
I think it's the perfect transition from our personal bit to the sports sampler.
Okay.
So, inadvertently, this is like that gray area where we're... I'll just say officially we're in the sports sampler because it is sports related.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
So, yeah, here's the sports theme song that Elias had for the Philly crowd Monday night.
You know how I know I'm in Philly? Because the Stanley Cup is nowhere to be found. Pride in this city. You know how I know I'm in Philly? 'Cause everyone's mom looks like that googly-eyed slob Gritty. But you really want to know how I know I'm in Philly? 'Cause the children here have no future no matter how hard they try. But you want to know how I know I'm in Philly?
So, there you go. Elias just putting
guns blazing.
Yeah, he went all out.
He kicked down the door, and he went right for the kids. Man, that is messed up.
Yeah. So
that's actually hilarious. I actually enjoyed that.
I actually got to say, I liked it.
I liked it, too.
Like I know. He's just completely shitting all over our city. But you know what? I liked it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we're used to it at this point.
But no, that was just a great heel move that he did to start off his song to the audience.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, all the kids were just booing him. And that was perfect.
Well, they were upset to hear that they had no future.
Yeah, sorry. It is true. You are in Philly.
That got real, real fast. It's like, wow.
Yes.
But yeah, that was good.
Sorry, kid. You have no future. You live in Philadelphia.
Oh, my God. That was great.
Yes.
Props to him. Man, he came out swinging.
I know, right? If you're going to be a heel, you got to go all the way.
Right. Exactly. Don't half-ass it, right?
Yeah.
Full-ass it.
Full-ass it.
That's what we always say on the show. Full-ass it.
Yeah, and Elias did it. So, thanks for roasting our city. It was an honor.
Thanks for that third-degree burn roast.
Yes. Going back to burning.
That's right. Back to burning. That's right.
There
this
you
is
go.
Going to be the Burned Podcast.
Yes. So, Elias, thank you for that. But anyway, so that wraps up my personal bit. And, officially into the sports sampler. Because we do have all of this sports news to talk about. You know what? Since you mentioned Bryce Harper, can we knock the Bryce Harper thing right out of the way? Because I really want to talk about this. I'm excited.
Yeah, let's do that.
It finally happened.
The Phillies got their guy. Let's talk about it.
Yes.
Phillies have signed mega star free agent right fielder Bryce Harper to a record-setting deal. 13 years, $330 million. Let that number ring around in your head a little bit. $330 million. That is officially the most lucrative deal in baseball, and it's tied for the longest deal in baseball. It also ranks third all-time in all sports.
Yes.
I can't – that was the thing that I couldn't believe, like in all sports, third most lucrative deal all-time. That's just crazy. Rich, break down this deal for us. What does this mean for the Phillies? How important is this? And I'm a little worried about the length of it. Let's talk about that, 13 years.
Okay, this is the thing I think a lot of people are forgetting. The reason why it's 13 years is because that makes the average annual salary around $25 to $26 million per year.
That does bring it down.
Which is a huge benefit to get a quality slugger of this caliber.
But there is a downside. I don't know, maybe a downside. Now, educate me on this. There's no opt-out or no trade clause in this contract. Doesn't that seem a little troublesome?
No, because for mega superstars, it's kind of the standard now. And the no trade clause doesn't necessarily mean he will never get traded ever. It just means that
the Phillies can't initiate it.
Harper would have to approve of the trade talks.
Okay.
Right. So it just puts the power in his side of the court.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that he can never be traded.
That's a little more reassuring. Well, because when I see 13 years, $330 million to have that type of money on the books for that long, I mean, don't you think that kind of like hampers us down the line a little bit when he's getting, you know, 37, 38, 39?
But no, but you have to look at it at the average. See, here's the thing. There's no salary cap. So it only counts the average per year.
Okay.
You know?
Because they could spend as much as they want every year.
Correct.
Okay.
And it keeps them under the luxury salary cap.
Okay.
Which is a penalty if you go over a certain amount.
Right.
Which is what the Yankees do every year. Because they don't
care. Because they can afford to.
Right. So this is actually really beneficial for the Phillies.
Okay.
That they spread this out 13 years, and then the average salary for each year is around $25 to $26 million, which is actually a steal when you hear the Nationals offered 10 years, $300 million to him at first.
And who else was just signed recently and their average is like 31, 32?
Manny Machado.
Yeah, isn't his like 31, 32 million a year?
Right.
Something crazy like that?
Right. So, I mean, it's actually beneficial that we spread this out over the course of 13 years. And to be honest with you, think about it like this. If Harper keeps this team competitive the next 5 years and even gets to the World Series during one of those years, that pays it off. I think it's worth it right then and there because this team was, you know, good but meddling. Like they were
fine.
Yeah,
they were okay.
Last year they had a hot start and then they collapsed.
Right.
They're kind of in that like awkward 14th, 15th, you know, in terms of quality, in terms of their roster, they're around like 14th, 15th in the league.
Where does this put them?
Signing Harper bumps them up into the top 10 easily.
Really?
They are now favorites to win that division.
Really?
If they don't win the division,
one player.
Wrong.
Now, we've seen this backfire for Philadelphia area teams before.
It's a combination of that and they also have had a couple of acquisitions as well at the top of the lineup as well.
Okay.
So, the lineup has been reworked during this offseason. But Harper was the crown piece. That was the focal point. If they got him, now we can start talking about, they should be able to win the division now. It was a huge moment that Harper finally made the decision to sign with the Phillies.
So, in your opinion, then, that this is a good deal? And that and that he will make a marked difference.
Oh yeah, I think this is a pretty good deal. And you know what? Even if this blows up in the Philadelphia Phillies' face, I just like the balls of it
to go.
You
for
know,
it.
I, the last couple, ever since the Phillies won the World Series, I think the Phillies just kind of were just coasting. They never really went to grab anybody.
Well, we talked about it in years past about how they let that particular roster linger way too long.
Correct. Yes.
So this is definitely a change in the opposite direction. Where
it's time to make some moves.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were smart, and they finally got their guy.
All right.
So I'm all in favor for this, and I think it's a win-win. Bryce gets a long-term contract that he wanted. He's going to be loved by the Philadelphia fans now that he's officially on the team.
Is he, though? Because he just promised a World Series to D.C. recently.
That was a mental mistake. He literally just signed. That's forgivable. That's fine.
Is it, though?
Yes, that's fine.
Maybe it's a Freudian slip?
That's fine. No, that's fine. All right. You're trying to make that an issue. That's not an issue.
I'm not trying to make an issue. I just thought it was really funny.
That's not
that,
an
like,
issue.
His first press conference. Like, I'm going to bring a World Series to D.C. And everyone's like, excuse me?
it's a slip of the tongue. That's fine. Yeah. That doesn't matter. So, no, I'm happy for this deal. And... Let me put you said you're worried about the length of the contract.
I was until you put me at ease, but yeah, it is a very long contract.
Can I put you further at ease?
Okay, go ahead.
Because this sounds like it's a long time that he's getting paid on this contract until 2031, but the Mets still have to pay Bobby Bonilla $1.19 million every July 1st until 2035.
2035?
Yes.
Who is this guy?
Bobby Bonilla was slugger, and he was signed by the Mets. And during his second signing tenure with the Mets, he fell off. His performance just started to go down. So the Mets, to create cap room, wanted to cut him, but they couldn't cut him in the middle of his contract without taking the hit because it was guaranteed money.
Right.
So they said essentially they call it a prorated buyout is what they call it.
Okay.
When they promise to pay you the money, but it's going to be in the future.
Okay.
Yeah, I know this is weird.
This
I know,
is like
your
baseball is totally bizarro world.
Right,
to
I know
me.
This is not this would never happen in football. This
it's
is,
not even possible.
So basically, they the Mets promised Bobby Bonilla that they were going to take that buyout, money,
and just guarantee it to him for like the rest of eternity.
Right. But his agent said, if you're going to do that, you should charge interest because we deserve that money now.
Okay.
And the Mets agreed to it. What really makes this even stupider.
This is already pretty stupid.
Right. What makes this even really stupider is, and I learned this while I was like doing some research on this, is one of the Mets' financial backers was Bernie Madoff. And here's here's the thing you got to keep in mind. Bernie Madoff was telling people that if you invested in him,
right,
you were getting 10% interest on your money. Whatever you invested in him, you were getting 10%.
Right.
So when the agent came back and said, we want 8% interest on the money, the Mets front office said, okay, that's fine because we're making 10% on our investment with Bernie Madoff.
Oh, no.
It is hilarious. There's a whole ESPN article about it.
Oh,
if you want to, if you have like a good 20 minutes and you want to reabsorb the Bernie Madoff scandal and everything and how the Mets are tied into it, there's ESPN article
that is
you can Google.
The worst series of circumstances and coincidences
That's my too long didn't read. I tried to condense it down as much as I could.
No, you did a good job.
Thank you.
Here's the key question, though. When was this person originally signed that they're still paying him through 2035?
The late 90s.
The late 90s?
Yeah.
So they will have been paying him like almost 40 years.
Well, it didn't start. The actual first payment on it didn't start until 2010, I think.
But still,
yeah,
that doesn't help at all.
No,
They signed him in the late 90s.
Yeah.
That means they've been paying this guy in some form or another for almost 40 years by the end of it.
Yeah.
They will have paid him.
He wasn't getting any money from 2001 when he got cut until 2010.
Why'd they wait?
Yeah, there was like a 10-year gap or something.
But why'd they do that?
Because Bobby Bonilla wanted to use it in his retirement years.
Okay. So he purposely said delay it 10 years.
Yeah, so I can collect it as I'm retiring.
Okay.
Basically, he used it as a retirement fund. Think about it like that.
That's amazing. It was a baseball 401k.
Yes, exactly. Think about it like that. Yeah.
That company match is amazing.
Yeah, 8%.
8%. Yeah. Jeez.
And yeah, he gets $1.19 million every July 1st until 2035 now. Which is longer than the Bryce Harper contract.
All right, that puts my mind at ease, definitely.
So,
at least we're not as dumb as the Mets.
Yes. Yay!
Yay!
We did it!
Yay, us.
It's good to know that there's somebody dumber than us.
That's really the golden rule. As long as there's one person dumber, you're fine.
Yay!
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Mets. Come right up and screw the Mets. Yeah.
Anyway, so there you go. That's our baseball talk there. Oh. That was an interesting deep dive that I had the whole.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a whole there's a whole ESPN article about it if you want to get into the nitty gritty details that you can read. But I tried to give you the quick 2 minute, too long didn't read version of it. So. Okay, I think that's all the baseball. All right, are we out of? I think that's all we wanted to mention. Mike is looking at me like we need to switch to football because he's
well, I don't know anything about baseball, so I really only have one topic to talk about.
Okay, so we got to switch gears into football, and to do that, we're going to use the 2 minute drill to transition. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right, the clock is armed. What do you have, Mike?
All right. Well, in the 2 minute drill, we have one big football story. Former Dallas Cowboys star tight end Jason Witten is officially leaving the broadcasting booth to return to football with his former team. After 15 years with the Cowboys, Witten called it quits and attempted to pursue a career in broadcasting. I say attempted because he wasn't good.
He sucked.
At all. He was really, really bad.
Yeah.
So late last week, he signed a one-year deal worth $3.5 million, which could grow to $5 million with bonuses and incentives, to rejoin the Dallas Cowboys. With Witten turning 37 in May, this could likely be his last hurrah. Rich, what do you make of this deal? Is this a good thing for the Cowboys? Is this just prolonging the inevitable of having to find a reliable replacement? What does Jason Witten do after this, you know, return to football? Because he's clearly not going to do broadcasting.
Yep, I don't know. And you know what? I think that's the best position to be in for the Dallas Cowboys because I'm an Eagles fan.
Exactly.
And have more confusion for the Cowboys sounds good for me. So go ahead.
Yeah, really, this is all positives for us because the longer they delay finding a replacement tight end is just another season. We'll have one extra thing up ahead of them.
Do they really think, like, Jason Witten coming back is going to be like Zach Ertz's season last year?
He's 37, and he's been out of football the whole year. And I don't know what type of rapport he has with Dak Prescott.
I don't think it's going to happen.
It doesn't seem like a smart move. Now, we could be totally wrong. He could come in, have a fantastic year, re-break Zach Ertz's record that Zach Ertz broke from him. But I don't see it happening.
No, I don't. I think this is really just a move from Jason Witten to get away from the broadcast booth.
I mean, he did get humiliated and eviscerated every week.
Yeah, so
he was not good.
If you're going to do it, you might as well get paid significantly for it on the Cowboys roster.
There you go.
There you go. 2 minute drill right there. Take that, Jason Witten.
When I saw that headline, I was like, I don't know. I don't know what this guy is doing, but it's clear that he has no career after football.
Yeah.
That's sad to say.
Not in broadcasting.
No. Yeah. Maybe he'll go and coach or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Anyway, enough about the Dallas Cowboys. We don't care very much about them, but we do care about our Philadelphia Eagles. We care a lot. And this past week, they've been making a lot of off-season moves. Let's dive right into it.
There's a lot.
A lot of moves have been happening, so let's just get to them very quickly. First off, we've been letting a lot of players walk. First up, defensive tackle Tim Jernigan. The Eagles are not exercising the contract option, so he will definitely hit free agency. That saves a lot of cap space. We talked about that last week. Probably a very smart move considering he was injury plagued, but that's really pales in comparison to the other big player we're letting walk, quarterback Nick Foles, the Super Bowl hero. There's nothing we can do. We're not going to tag and trade him. We're not going to try and restructure or re-sign him. The asking price is going to be too high. He bought his option out. We originally exercised the option. We're going to pay him $20 million. He said no. Here's $2 million in cold hard cash. I'm walking. And now the Jags are the favorite to sign him in free agency next week. Rich, what do you think? Good move, bad move for the Eagles and for the Jags? What are your feelings on this move? Yes, obviously sad, but
yes.
More than that, football analysis-wise.
It's sad, but in terms of the business aspect, it's something that had to be done.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no way you were going to keep Wentz and Foles together.
And you can't keep a backup quarterback at $20 million.
No. It's
just
insane.
It's not workable.
Right.
You very rarely keep actual starters for $20 million,
right.
You know?
I thought it was odd that we didn't do the franchise tag and trade, because this leaves the compensation for a compensatory pick up in the air.
Right.
But I think Howie Roseman knows the formula and has worked out all the scenarios that, you know, to ensure that we're at least getting a decent draft pick from the compensatory draft selection.
Yeah.
So he believes that, you know, for what it's worth, we're going to get a decent draft pick out of it, and just let him walk and just take the hit.
I mean, realistically, and I think we touched on this before when we were reporting on the rumors of it, realistically, what I was seeing online is people saying that Foles probably would have had garnered a third round trade anyway. And that's what they're pegging his compensatory pick to be, is a third rounder.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're losing a ton of value. Now,
unless
you had said that you thought he could have gone for a second round pick in a trade.
I really think that if you got a desperate team,
but you see,
a second rounder would have been
I don't see a lot of desperate teams out there. A lot of teams have veteran quarterbacks, have young quarterbacks they're invested in, or recently made moves. It was really just the Jags out there.
I don't know.
That really need a, everybody else is invested in somebody. Or they have a high draft pick.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think you could have found somebody that you could have worked an angle with. But maybe in the long run, I guess not. But I would have said possibly there probably would have been two or three teams I think would have been desperate.
All right. Well, we're not going to get to see that future.
Yeah.
We will probably see a future where Nick Foles is playing in Jacksonville. So let's flip the script. Jacksonville and
Foles. By the
way,
that is Foles going to Jacksonville is the dream scenario for the Eagles.
And oh, for the Eagles, okay.
That is perfect because out of conference, out of division, perfect.
Also, especially since we have two teams in our division that are going to be quarterback needy in the next few years.
Yeah.
Eli Manning with the New York Giants not getting any younger. And the Washington Redskins, what are they? They're just a giant question mark now. Because
the latest rumor is they're trying to go after Ryan Tannehill, which, wow,
He's not a solution.
Yeah.
And when that runs its course and Alex Smith comes back, he's going to be too old. So they're going to be needing a quarterback
very
soon.
That's fine. But go off and do your thing.
But yeah, so him going to Jacksonville, Foles going to Jacksonville is good for the Eagles. But is it good for Foles in Jacksonville? Because I think that this is actually a fairly good situation for him. Strong running game, strong defense.
Oh, yeah, for Foles, too, yeah.
It's basically the team that he won a Super Bowl with the Eagles.
Right. Oh, yeah, this is perfect for Foles as well. Oh, yeah. And the Jaguars only they're only a season removed from going in the AFC Championship game.
You get one offensive weapon to go along with Foles, and you have a pretty compelling argument that they could take that division and probably make a deep push into the playoffs like they did 2 years ago.
Yeah. Get rid of Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
And then use the magic from the good place, and there you go. You're gonna soar.
Yes.
I can't wait to hear the Foles jokes on the good place.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's really the highlight of this whole thing.
Yes.
I'm so happy I follow that show now, because now I get those references.
Yeah.
It's so good. But anyway, moving along. So Foles is leaving. Tim Jernigan probably leaving. But we did manage to retain some talent.
This is what you get for not re-signing Nick Foles.
Exactly. And this is the type of moves the Eagles need to make to stay competitive. They have given guard Isaac Seumalo a 3-year extension through 2022. They also signed, these are the big ones, Brandon Graham to an extension. 3 years, $40 million signed through 2021. And Jason Kelce, a 1-year extension worth $11 million. He's now signed through 2021 as well. So they're shoring up that core. Seumalo is, of course, a backup right now, but I could envision him transitioning to becoming a starter in the near future. Rich, what do you make of these three moves? This has to be exciting for you, for both of us as Eagles fans.
Yeah. Seumalo's good. Kelsey's good. Graham is ecstatic.
That was the key.
I thought there would be no way we were going to get Graham back.
I thought the asking price was going to be way too high, but in Howie we trust. Man, he's just a magician.
Yeah. If you get Graham and another decent pass rusher in the draft this year, I think it's a win-win. Well, I think that's a win for the defense.
Derek Barnett's going to come back from injury.
Right, yep.
And obviously, we still got Fletcher Cox. So we have some
that
good players.
That front line is going to be just as good as the Super Bowl run.
Yeah, I think so. And on the offensive side, you know, we're shoring it up for the future. Now we have a lot of our key talent signed through, you know, 2021. That gives us another, what, 2-3 years
yeah.
of solid offensive line play. Now, there are some questions. You know, what are we going to do with Jason Peters on the offensive line? And then on the defensive line, one of the rumors I'm hearing is that the Eagles are shopping Michael Bennett. So that could be another defensive line loss. What do you think there? Or do we need to be particularly concerned about either of these things? Because the Michael Bennett thing, he was a really good situational player. And to lose that when we're already losing Tim Jernigan, when we lost other players on the defensive line in previous years, that's got me a little worried, honestly.
It would worry me if we don't get somebody, if we don't use one of our top 50 picks to shore up the defensive line.
And I'm sure the Eagles will.
As long as one of those top 50 defensive picks, as long as one of those top 50 picks are going towards the defensive line, then I think we're fine.
Okay. Yeah, and they probably will. The Eagles love drafting along the lines, and they need to shore up both of them in this offseason. So you're already seeing moves for them to shore up those lines, and we're probably going to see even more moves of them shoring up those lines. But one of the other areas that the Eagles need to improve in, of course, is the run game. And the rumors are still spinning, Rich. Le'Veon Bell.
No.
I don't get it.
No,
he's flirting with the Eagles. People are tweeting at him.
Unless he's willing to get a smaller contract. It's not happening.
Le'Veon Bell? Smaller
right.
contract?
Not happening.
What alternate universe are you living in?
Right. Or maybe it's going to be like a year, like a, something ridiculous, like a $10 million one-year contract
well,
or something.
Let me put this out there. We saved instantly about 30-some million dollars against the cap with getting rid of Foles and Jernigan. And we freed up even more space in restructuring Kelce, Lane Johnson, and in re-signing Graham and Seumalo. You really think it's out of the realm of possibility?
Yeah.
Because we're also, I hate to break it to people, we might not see Jason Peters and Darren Sproles back. So that will free up more space.
Oh, yeah.
We'll probably try to restructure Aguilar. That'll free up some space.
Sproles, I don't think I don't know.
I wanted to get rid of Sproles 2 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think Sproles is worth it, but we'll see.
So you don't think saving all that money? Maybe, just maybe.
No, I don't think so, especially when there's other teams that have a vast amount of cap space to dedicate.
Yeah.
The Colts have a ridiculous amount of cap space.
Le'Veon Bell could be good with the Colts.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck. Le'Veon Bell, yeah.
It sounds pretty good to me.
It does sound pretty good.
Yeah. And he's an unrestricted free agent.
Bell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's going to have his choice of contracts
right.
when free agency hits.
Yeah, the other thing about Bell is, remember, the reason why he didn't sign or work with the Steelers is because he wanted a fully guaranteed contract, like some of those other running backs. He wants to be paid, you know, at the top of the field.
Yeah.
So that means that he's going to want, you know, probably $30, $40 million guaranteed over several years. And I don't think the Eagles have that type of wiggle room with the cap as it currently is.
Yeah, so I don't think it's happening.
Yeah. And as much as I'd like to entertain the rumors and think about it, oh, my God, wouldn't that be amazing? Just realistically, I don't see it happening.
No.
Unfortunately. But I felt like we had to mention it because they keep coming up. They keep coming up, Rich. And all I would say to that is that, you know, Howie Roseman's doing his due diligence. He's probably talking with Bell's people and other teams. Like, what do you think about Bell? You know, every general manager does that, you know, about every player.
Yeah.
So for there to be rumors doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility. I just don't think it's going to lead to anything concrete.
Right.
So.
So we have that. We're not going to go after Brown either. I don't think that's in the cards.
No, and I don't know where this came from, but I was seeing some posts online. People like, the Eagles are not interested in Antonio Brown. I was like, okay. I didn't even realize that was on our radar, but I guess they felt the need to just squash that before it even started. It doesn't make sense to go after a wide receiver of Brown's caliber. Does
for
it?
The Eagles, no. Not
we,
for the Eagles.
We have Jeffrey. He's very good. Aguilar can be very good as well. We need to work on restructuring. We have Zach Ertz underneath. I feel like the skill positions in terms of receiving is set. It's it's really the run game. So I don't, if they go after a wide receiver, it would just be a head scratching move. But we're going to get Mike Wallace back too, or we could possibly re-sign him. So there's solutions there. It's the running back where we need the help. So I don't know where the Antonio Brown thing came from, but apparently some reporters felt the need to say that the Eagles are not interested.
Yeah, but you know Brown's going to be the headline when free agency hits because the Steelers are trying to move him off of their books.
What do you make of the Steelers? Like, this is a theme that I love coming back to. They seem like a franchise in disrepair.
Oh yeah, they're going crazy right now. Everybody's leaving. It's a sinking ship.
Now, I don't know. Is this a stretch? Does that reflect that locker room and work culture?
I think it does.
If players just want to jump ship and leave? I mean, you have a perennial playoff team. You have Ben Roethlisberger, Big Ben himself, two-time Super Bowl winner, and these receivers and running backs are like, no thanks.
Yeah.
That seems a little troubling. If I were a player looking at teams and they're like, how about the Steelers? I'd be like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that too much of a stretch?
No, I don't think so at all. I think anybody that is considering going to the Steelers, they gotta watch out because that organization's in free fall right now.
Yeah, I've never liked Mike Tomlin. That guy's always been kind of a jerk.
The most interesting rumor I heard was Antonio Brown being shipped to the Cardinals, and the Cardinals shipping them Josh Rosen. Because there's apparently this whole...
That is a weird... Okay.
There's a whole movement going on that's saying that the Cardinals are going to draft Kyler Murray with their first overall pick. And if that happens, wow, that resets the whole quarterback landscape.
Yeah.
Think about that. Josh Rosen has only been with the Cardinals for a year.
Yeah. I don't even think he played, did he?
Yeah, he played like five games or five or six games, the second half of the season. Because they ran with
Sammy
Bradford.
Sleeves, that's right.
Yeah, he was the starting quarterback at the start of the season last year.
I take back what I said. The Steelers are fine compared to the train wreck that is the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah. And they have so many holes. I can't believe that this is a legitimate...
You can't waste that many top draft picks on quarterbacks that quickly.
Right.
That's not how you... They must be playing a numbers game. Like, if we just keep drafting quarterbacks, one of them is going to be the next Carson Wentz or Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. But you can't. A number one overall pick is so rare. You know, you have a... Unless there's something dramatically wrong with Josh Rosen, or they really believe we whiffed bad, there's no reason to go quarterback again.
Yeah.
That is just crazy. I don't think that's going to happen. If it did, though, that turns everything on its head. Because then the Steelers, let's look at it realistically. Ben Roethlisberger's not going to Methuselah, that team, into another Super Bowl. You know, he's eventually going to meet his maker. He's injured. He's old. He's losing all of his skill position players. So, you know, if Josh Rosen comes over, do they go, well, maybe now this is where we start looking at transition. Does that mean Big Ben hits the market? You know, does that mean next year Big Ben hits the market? There's so many questions.
Yeah.
There.
There's so many questions on that front. Then there's so many questions on how that impacts the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a crazy scenario. I think the Cardinals are stoking this fire because I think they're going to trade down from the number one overall pick.
I see what you're saying.
If you had to ask me, I think they're going to trade down from the number one overall pick because that team has so many holes.
Yeah.
They just need quality content to just fill the needs that they need, that they have.
If you can trade down later in the top 10 and get like an extra second out of it, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you have your young quarterback that you're supposed to be working with. I think Larry Fitzgerald is still on the
team.
Yes,
he is. He's still on. Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he's going to torch, you know, these elite cornerbacks, but he's still good.
Yeah, he's a slot receiver.
So you still have a good starting, you know, duo right there. Now you just need, you know, a lot of the other instrumental, you need, like, you know, players along the line. They have a running back, so that's shored up. You know, one or two good defenders, a couple people on the line, and that's where you need draft volume,
right?
Instead of the number one overall pick,
right? So that's why I think if there is a trade that's going to happen with the Cardinals, I think they're just going to trade down.
So you're saying that they're putting this out there to get teams worried that they're going to snatch up Kyler Murray,
right?
To force, you know, whoever's in the third or the fourth spot to make a panic jump up,
right? Giants?
Do Giants go quarterback? Because they keep swapping back and forth. I keep seeing, you know, oh, the, you know, they want to draft a quarterback, and then the very next story is, oh, but they're happy with Eli Manning. Well, which is it? Are you desperate enough to draft a quarterback, or are you happy with Eli Manning?
Here's something that I was reading from New York tabloid papers. The fan
the most reliable source.
The fan base are they see the writing on the wall. The fan base knows there needs to be a quarterback in this draft.
Yeah.
The Giants have the sixth spot. There's five teams ahead of them.
But which five need quarterbacks?
Their top two prospects are Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins.
Okay.
If they don't walk out of this draft with one of those two quarterbacks, it's going to be a bloodbath for the New York media. They are going to tear that ownership a new one. They need a quarterback at the end of that first round. They better get somebody.
All right. Do you want to play this game? How many quarterbacks do you think that will go before they get to the Giants at six? So we have the Cardinals, the Niners, the Jets, the Raiders, and the Bucks. The Cardinals have a young quarterback. The Niners just traded for Garoppolo a few years ago. The Jets have their quarterback. Top three, I don't see taking a quarterback. Raiders and the Bucks.
Yes.
Is where it gets a little iffy.
But you're also forgetting other teams could trade up too.
So, well, if the Jags sign Foles, they're not going to jump from seven. The Lions have Stafford. The Bills at nine. Who are they running with?
They like Josh Allen. They're good.
And they're sticking with him?
I think so, for the time being.
Are you sure it's the Bills?
Yeah, it is the Bills. But I think they're good.
So who do you envision jumping up then?
There could be other teams. Miami doesn't like Ryan Tannehill. They could
from
move
13
up.
13 into the top.
You never know. You never know.
The Eagles did that.
Yeah, you never know. That's a possibility.
This is the point that I'm making, though. You get on this list. A lot of teams have quarterbacks already.
They do, but you know, you never know. The draft is wonky like that.
It is, especially if there's big trades like the one you talked about happening.
So I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if the Cardinals are trying to stoke this fire to see if they can get a really good draft package for that number one overall draft pick.
The Raiders have two first round picks.
They have three.
They have three?
Yeah.
Am I reading this wrong?
They have three.
They have three. Oh, my God. That's right. Holy.
Yeah, the Amari Cooper trade and Khalil Mack. Yep.
They should go quarterback.
Yeah, they could. So it's stuff like that could happen. All right, but at this point now we're getting in the draft speculation.
Yeah, this whole first segment of the show has just been a twisty, windy road.
That's right.
But that's half the fun.
That's right. So we could do draft predictions all night, but we got to end it there because we got to go over entertainment news and odd news. Coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Hi, I'm game show host Todd Newton from Whammy, Family Game Night, Hollywood Showdown, and more. And I don't know if you've heard about the 24-hour game show marathon. It's happening June 8th out of the great city of Philadelphia. And this is where four super fans come together to recreate 24 of their favorite game shows. It's really cool. But they're not just doing it to have a good time. They're doing it to raise some money for a great cause, Child's Play. Really helps out children and families that could use a little assistance. If you'd like to donate, please go to GameShowMarathon.com. GameShowMarathon.com, and it is there where you can watch all of the festivities again on June 8th from Philadelphia. We appreciate your support, and long live game shows, baby. Game Show Marathon.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler, and we are moving right along into the second part of our show that revolves around movies, TV, entertainment, celebrities, anything that will, anything that might be talked about in terms of the media spectrum. Folks, it's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. The
you're diehard. You rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Look, here's the thing.
Fine. Listen,
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
All right.
Oh,
there
my God.
You go.
He said something accurate for once.
Yes. I know we have a lot to talk about in the Entertainment Entree, so I just want to mention this real quick. Alex Jones went on the Joe Rogan podcast again. Apparently, he's now back to being friends with Joe Rogan because...
Oh, wait.
Because we've covered, yeah, that they had a feud going on for a little bit.
Right. Didn't he say something about Joe Rogan doing drugs and seeing gremlins and...
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Right.
It's so hard to keep up.
So, apparently, they've made up. They're friends now.
Okay.
And I think Alex Jones just wanted to put the blame on himself and admit that he was stupid.
Look, here's
We're
the
gonna
thing.
Be fine. Listen...
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
So there you go, Alex Jones. I'm kind of retarded.
You know, that's one Alex Jones clip I really can't find any fault with.
Yes, so
I can't find any fault with that one.
No, but I'm sure if you want to listen to their entire 3-hour conversation,
oh my God,
yeah, I'm sure you can find something that he probably said something wrong about. People complain that our podcast is too long.
Who complains?
This
I'll fight them. No,
this guy went on 3 hours.
3 hours. If I listen to Alex Jones for 3 hours, I'm trying to kill myself.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no other way that you would listen to Alex Jones for 3 hours.
Yes.
Oh my God.
So I'm just gonna just put this carte blanche. If you happen to find a clip during that 3-hour podcast that you want us to play, let me know. Tweet at Rich Liebig. But that's it. I'm not going to listen to a 3-hour smorgasbord on weird stuff from Alex Jones.
Yeah, it's definitely
being high with Joe Rogan.
It's definitely not worth it to listen to 3 hours of it. But
right. I think I would go crazy.
I'm sure there are probably a few choice quotes in there.
Yeah. But that was one that was getting some quick plays. On Instagram and Snapchat because of just how sudden it was.
Man, we're for hours. Look, here's
we're
the thing.
Be fine. Listen,
I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
I'm kind of retarded.
Can I just ask what is going on in that clip? There's very mouth noisiness going on.
Yeah, they're all drinking and smoking.
Because it's all like, you know what I mean? Play it again. It's like it's very off-putting.
Yeah. Well, listen
closely.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned it,
listen.
Look, here's
we're
the
be
thing.
Fine. Listen,
I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
There's a lot of mouth noise going on.
Yeah,
there.
They're all.
I'm not a fan of that ASMR stuff. That mouth noise is no.
Yeah, they're drinking and smoking and having a good time. So.
But when I take a drink of my water, I do it away from the microphone. I'm not some barbarian.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, so take that, Joe Rogan podcast. I actually like the Joe Rogan podcast. I think
I've never listened to it.
Sometimes
it
gets really interesting guests, but
Alex Jones,
I can't handle 3 hours of Alex Jones. I'm going to go crazy. So there you go. I'm just leaving it at that. If you want us to play a clip, let us know at Twitter, at the Crispy Noodle, or me, at Rich Liebig. Let me know.
Yeah, don't hit me with that stuff.
Yeah. Okay, well, there's a reason why, because Mike has to do the other part of the Entertainment Entree, where he lets us know what's coming up this weekend with movies, TV, and video games. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Oh, good for you!
All right, what's good for us in this weekend on Mike's This Week in Entertainment?
Oh, good for you!
Well, I'll tell you what's good this week in movies. The latest addition to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Captain Marvel, hits theaters. Oh my gosh, I'm really excited to see this one. This hotly anticipated film follows the eponymous heroine who was teased at the end of Infinity War. Many suspect this film could be the key to Endgame, so MCU fans will absolutely want to see this one. Right now, reviews are just coming in early this week. It's got an 84% on Rotten Tomatoes, so it's doing pretty good. I'm really excited about it. It's not often you see a female-led superhero movie, and I think that could add something unique and different to the whole thing. And also, I like it when Marvel goes to the more spacey topics. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor Ragnarok, they're a lot of fun. So I'm very excited to see how Captain Marvel plays out. Also, it being set in the 90s, it'll be a nice dose of nostalgia, too.
Okay.
So go check it out. Captain Marvel hitting theaters this week. In television, we're going to bring things down a little bit, something more serious. The case against Adnan Syed premieres Sunday at 9 p.m. on HBO. If you need something to get your true crime story fix, this is the ticket. It follows the twists and turns of one of the most captivating criminal cases, which was the subject of the smash hit podcast Serial. I listen to all of Serial. The first season is the best. Oh my God, it was so good. It basically made podcasts huge again for our generation. But this documentary series reexamines the case. It also details Syed's quest for a new trial and shows interviews with people not featured in the podcast. Just a quick, elevator pitch for the Adnan Syed thing. Basically, he was a high school student who was accused of murdering his girlfriend. He has maintained for 20-some years that he had nothing to do with it, and he is completely innocent. And if you listen to the Serial podcast, it is really strange how they made such a terrible case against him and very little evidence, very poorly cobbled together evidence, and yet they still somehow managed to convict him. And so the podcast Serial goes back through and looks at everything. They missed alibi witnesses. There were witnesses that changed their story multiple times. There was a lack of any cell phone evidence. There was a whole bunch of stuff. He's been appealing it for, ever since the podcast came out. And now this new documentary series is going to be following that part of the saga, as well as introducing new evidence and new people that have never been interviewed before. So really, really intrigued by this. Go check it out. That's The Case Against Adnan Syed on HBO this weekend. And finally, in video games, a new month equals new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. PlayStation Plus members get the incredible first-person puzzle game The Witness, which uses, there's no other way to describe this other than the environment around the players to create a sort of observational puzzle. For example, using shadows on cast by a tree to like determine how to traverse a maze. Like, it's really weird, abstract stuff like that. Very, very cool. So definitely go check that out. It's got great reviews. But the other big one for PlayStation Plus users is the legendary first-person shooter Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. Call of Duty 4 basically revolutionized the shooter genre, and all gamers owe it to themselves to experience this, at least once. It's a very short campaign. It's got some of the greatest shooter missions of all time, and the gunplay still holds up to this day. Nearly two generations after it came out. So go check that out. Those are both games free for PlayStation Plus users for the month of March. And that's what we're looking forward to this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that segment. I also know that you want to mention a quick side note.
Yeah, a quick side note here, not really this week in entertainment, but we talked about Anthem, I think it was a few weeks ago, coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
Yep.
And PC. But we just have to, retract or withdraw our endorsement. I don't know what you want to say, but basically, don't play Anthem on PlayStation 4 just yet. Reports are coming in that the game is causing systems to hard crash. This is not a reset. This is not the game crashing, but the whole system itself to crash.
Because you've done goofed.
Yeah, as in making the PlayStation think it's been improperly shut down.
And I know who's emailing and who's doing it, and you've been reported to the cyber police. Consequences will never be the same.
Well, he's very
yeah,
right.
He's actually right.
Because this type of shutdown can lead to data corruption, and EA is aware of the issues specifically with Anthem on the PlayStation 4. So if anybody is interested in it, just hold off a week or two, see if they come out with a patch. But things are not looking good for this game.
No.
I'm seeing reports that the sales are half of that of Mass Effect Andromeda in the UK, and Mass Effect Andromeda did not sell well. So, I don't know. It's very sketchy for BioWare and Anthem.
Yeah, I think they're getting egg on their face over this one.
I'd say so. So, there you go. Just had to give a disclaimer there. Side note, follow-up story to a few weeks ago.
Because you done goofed.
Yeah, they did. They done goofed.
They really did. They really did. But you know who's not goofing is this. Not goofing, goofy. Goofy is part of Disney.
Aha.
Disney yes. is not goofing or goofy.
Excellent.
When they're trying to take over companies because the Disney empire continues. We have an update here. They're not taking over a company, but they're in talks to buy AT&T's 10% stake in the streaming giant Hulu. This is newsworthy because Disney originally owned 30% of this service. After the Fox acquisition goes through, they'll own 60%. And if they successfully buy out AT&T's portion, they will own 70% of Hulu. This is important because, as we've talked about previously in this whole Disney acquiring every entertainment company ever saga, you have mentioned in the past concerns that they would meddle with the more mature rated TV shows and movies. Basically, what I'm seeing online are a lot of reports and a lot of speculation and analysis that seems to suggest that Disney is trying to aggressively acquire as much of Hulu as possible because they will turn that into their streaming platform for the more mature content like the Deadpools and the X-Men and stuff like that. So in a weird sort of roundabout way, you should be happy about this, Rich.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the end game for this, then okay, I can see that. Push all the adult stuff that they don't want to feature, you know, as part of the traditional Disney package.
Right.
Put that on Hulu, and then let those live on Hulu.
Yeah, and I think that makes a lot of sense. I've been saying this from the start, that Disney has the young kids demographic. Disney has the teens demographic with the Marvel and the Lucasfilm. But what they really want is that 20-somethings demographic. And they're trying to capture that, and they're trying to do that through their acquisition of Fox, which brings things like The Simpsons and Family Guy and the Marvel and the X-Men universe, you know, the gritty, real stuff. And now they're aggressively pursuing Hulu, so they have things like The Handmaid's Tale and all that, you know, 70%. They would own 70% of it. So it all sort of adds up in a weird jigsaw puzzle kind of way when you think about how they're trying to acquire these different viewing demographics. It makes sense in my mind, at least.
Yes, and that would be kind of the perfect compromise then, because that was my primary concern was what do you do with The Punisher and you know, these more mature shows, these R-rated shows. You know, you can't have that side by side next to, you know, freaking Little Mermaid or something. I don't know.
There's nothing wrong with a Little Mermaid, Rich.
Yeah,
it's a whimsical tale of life under the sea.
Okay.
With a funny sounding crab. But anyway, the main point of the story is that, yes, this would be Disney's way. The Disney CEO had suggested a few weeks ago that they wanted to keep the branding separate. That Disney Plus would be the traditional Disney stuff, and that potentially what we're seeing here is Hulu would be basically everything else. So it all is lining up. We'll just have to see how it all plays out in the end. We will keep you guys updated as we have been the past few months.
Although it is kind of funny. It seems like Disney's just literally buying anything they can.
Why not? They have so much power.
Do you think it'll ever come to a point where somebody's going to step in and be like, this is like a monopoly now?
The only two entities that can do that are the U.S. government and NBC Universal Comcast. No other entity is big enough to really fight them. Fox was one of the big four, and Disney's like, nope, you're ours now.
Yep.
So they own two of the big four television networks. Nobody else is big enough. Time Warner's not big enough. NBC Universal's not big enough. The U.S. government doesn't want to step in. So for right now, they're just steamrolling whoever they want to. And here's the thing. People say, oh, it's dangerous. It's monopoly. And yes, I agree to all those points in principle. However, I would counter by saying Pixar, Marvel, Lucasfilm, classic Disney cartoons. Like, they've you know, and I know what you're going to say. People would disagree. But they really haven't had many misses. Like, you know you're going to get a quality product out of pretty much anything that Disney does. With the rare exception, they're all usually really good stuff. The Star Wars movies, the Marvel, everything in the Marvel expanded universe now, Pixar movies especially. It's really hard to point at something that Disney – you have to remember, Disney also operates ESPN and ABC and all of their affiliates. Think about all the success all of those channels have had. The History Channel, A&E. It's like stuff you don't even realize Disney having a hand in. They're doing well, you know? So I would counter that most of the entertainment you watch is probably Disney-owned and you just don't realize it. But now it's going to be more apparent.
Okay, so there you go.
Am I like super Disney fanboy?
I think you
right
are
here right now.
Yeah, you're like, yeah. Are you getting like a Disney side money that I don't know about?
That would be great.
Because yeah, if
Disney could pay me like the Mets are paying Bobby Bonilla, that'd
yeah,
be
there
fantastic.
You go. Yeah, there you go. Okay, $1.19 million every July 1st.
Hit me up, Bob Iger, whoever the CEO is. Right? I think it's Bob Iger.
You'll take that prorated buyout.
I will unabashedly support anything Disney does if it means that you can give me $1.9 million every July 1st, just in time for my birthday and everything. I mean, it sounds like a perfect deal.
There you go.
Let's make it happen. But anyway,
here's something that Spielberg does not want to happen.
Yeah, so this story, and this always gets our ire up when we talk about this stuff. Famed director Steven Spielberg recently making headlines, not for his quality movies, but because he wants to introduce rules prohibiting streaming movies from competing in Academy Awards. I think it's really weird that this is coming up after Roma scared everybody and won some big awards at this past year's Oscars. But basically, what is happening is Spielberg, who is a member of the Academy Board of Governors, serving as the governor for the directors branch, plans to lead a charge in the April governors meeting regarding rules changes. He wants to try and bar movies that are run on streaming services from competing in the Academy Awards. This has long been a battle between industry icons like Spielberg, Lucas, and Christopher Nolan against pretty much everyone else. Some of the common complaints from the Academy, from the movie industry in general, against streaming services, I found this list on IndieWire.com. Some of the complaints are that Netflix spends too much in Oscar campaigns. They say that Roma spent $50 million, while the Green Book spent $5 million. Netflix, of course, says that the awards spending was folded into their general marketing budget, so it's a little skewed.
That's actually a solid point because Adam Ruins Everything?
Right.
He had an episode where he tackled award shows, and he revealed that most of the award shows usually go to – the winners of those award shows usually go to – the movies or the athletes or the products or whatever the situation is, it usually goes to the ones that pay the most for marketing get their name out there to the people that vote.
Yeah, and
so in a way, the awards are always skewed a little bit.
Well, you know, I would normally agree, except for the fact that Green Book won with only $5 million in Oscars.
Yeah, that's
budget.
Rare.
Yeah, that is the exception, not the rule. But here's my other counter. Okay, who cares? If you want your movie to be considered, spend more money on it. You know, don't fault Netflix because they're big and they can afford it. If you really believe in the Green Book, spend more on it, you know, or do more targeted marketing or whatever it is you need to do. I feel like it's a non-point because you're telling me that these movie studios can't afford to spend money on marketing?
No, but
like, I guess I don't get the point because
like $50 million versus $5 million sounds like
that
you're bringing, yeah, you're bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah. But again, we don't know because, you know, that's what they speculate. But then the New York Times reports that it was $25 million and Netflix says that, you know, it was their entire marketing budget, not just the Oscars awards consideration budget. So, you know, we don't even know what the total is. It could be anywhere from $5 to $1 million. We don't know.
Yeah.
I I think it's probably closer to the 50 because I saw a lot of ads for Roma.
Yeah.
A lot of ads.
And I was not interested.
Neither was I. Neither was I. That's the crazy thing. I'm sitting here defending Roma, and I really didn't. I still haven't seen it, even though it's been free to me for a while. But anyway, so that's one complaint. Another complaint is that that Roma crushed foreign language distributors, that Sony said that they had no financial option but to release other Oscar foreign language nominees during the holiday or after the holidays, which meant that Academy voters hadn't had a chance to see them, that Roma only spent 3 weeks as a theatrical exclusive. Netflix didn't report box office totals. Netflix doesn't respect the 90-day theatrical window, and Netflix movies aren't available are available in 190 countries 24/7. A lot of these things I see as non-issues. What do you think?
Well, I mean, is this what Spielberg's trying to point out?
This is what they claim as complaints against Roma specifically, and against streaming services in general. That this is how they're breaking the rules, and that these are the complaints about how they feel that, you know, they shouldn't be allowed in because of these reasons. And I look at this list and I go, why do they have to respect the 90-day theatrical window? Like, why does that dictate whether something should be considered for an award or not? What does it matter that it's available in 190 countries 24/7? Is that a bad thing?
Right.
Is that a negative that it's widely available to the masses?
Yeah, that shouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah. So where do you stand on these? Because I read this list on IndieWire.com, and I was like, this doesn't make sense to me. These accusations are really non-points to me.
Yeah, I don't see why that's a bad thing for the movies and for the awards. I think this faction that's being led by Spielberg is taking things way too far.
I agree.
I do see where they're coming from a little bit, though, because the worry is that if Netflix keeps steamrolling like this, then why do you need movie theaters? Movie theaters are going to go extinct. Because why should I go to a movie theater, pay $20 a ticket, when I can download, or when I can wait, 90 days or whatever?
Well, Netflix doesn't respect the 90 days, so all their movies premiere, you know, on Netflix and theaters at the same time.
Right. So why would I waste $20 a ticket, go to the theater, when I already have my Netflix subscription? I'd want to watch it in the comforts of my home. So I get what they're coming from. But to channel that anger towards the Oscars and the award ceremonies, and then to say that, like, Netflix is the downfall of everything, I think is taking things way too far.
Yeah.
And I think Spielberg's going to lose. This is kind of the sign of the times, really.
Right.
You're trying to fight the tide of what's new and what's coming.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think you're gonna make it.
In my mind, this is very much like a line in the sand moment. You don't want to be on the wrong side of this pivot point in the history of entertainment.
Yeah.
And I feel like Spielberg is setting himself up for failure, because we had this conversation actually during dinner. What has Spielberg done recently? You know, I feel like maybe he's just a little jealous that his movies aren't getting the attention that some of these Netflix movies are. He came out with Ready Player One was his last movie. And before that, it was some other, you know, generic blockbuster film, you know. And I'm pretty sure Spielberg was probably criticized back in the day for coming up with blockbuster films instead of, you know, the dramatic high art pieces of the 70s, you know. So this is just another, in my mind, this is just another case of the newest, latest medium being demonized because the old guard feels threatened.
Yes.
And I feel that Steven Spielberg is setting himself up for failure. But to the whole thing about theaters going extinct, I real quickly researched worldwide box office records. And I just going down the list of the top 10, the top 10 grossing movies were released in 2009, 97, 2015, 2018, 2015, 2012, 2015, 2015, 2018. Do we see a trend here?
Is that adjusted for inflation?
I don't know if it's adjusted for – it's probably not adjusted for inflation because Titanic is number two and all these movies are – no, it's probably not adjusted for inflation. But movies are still making bank. So, you know, I don't see theaters going the way of the dinosaur. I think the real concern here is that this has always been the concern. Even back when I was in grad school several years ago and I took film classes, everybody was bemoaning the death of the fall drama. And to that I say, make your fall dramas better.
Okay.
I hate to sound so callous, but they're always bemoaning the fact that, it's too reliant on, quote-unquote, tentpole films, these big action blockbusters. Do you know who created the concept of the tentpole film in Hollywood? Do you know who's responsible for that problem, Rich?
Spielberg.
Yes. Spielberg and his buddy, your buddy, George Lucas.
Yep.
They are solely responsible for creating the very thing that they bemoan as destroying the industry. So when your last great movie was Lincoln in 2012 and you've done nothing for 7 years, I don't think you have a leg to stand on as an auteur, Mr. Spielberg. I think that you're on the wrong side of history. And Netflix is not taking this lying down. They came out with a quick tweet. They said, quote, "We love cinema. Here are some things we also love. Access for people who can't always afford or live in towns without theaters. Letting everyone everywhere enjoy releases at the same time. Giving filmmakers more ways to share art. These things are not mutually exclusive." What do you think about that? What do you think about specifically giving filmmakers more ways to share art? Because this is something that's not being talked about, is the fact that, you know, all these indie films that struggle in theaters, hello, there's your avenue.
Yeah.
Is Netflix.
Yeah, there aren't too many independent theaters. I mean, Ambler's lucky you got that, the Ambler Theater here that's independent. So they'll play the oddball movie that, you know, you might not have seen.
Yeah.
Stan and Ollie's right there. I kind of want to go see it. That's the one that's based on the popular comedic duo. I kind of want to go see it. But anyway, most towns don't have independent things like that. Where
no, they don't.
They're showing the independent films.
Yeah.
So when you have stuff like that, yeah, that's perfect for Netflix and Hulu to feature them on their streaming services, because most movie theaters aren't going to play them.
Yeah, and really any platform that makes entertainment and art easier to consume and experience, I think is a positive.
Right.
You know, so maybe I'm just fanboying over here like I did with Disney, but I really do think that Netflix can be, well, not just Netflix, but Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, all the streaming services can be a positive force in arts and entertainment, and not a negative like Spielberg is constantly making it out to be. We recently saw the release of Bandersnatch this past year, which was, you know, one of the first choose your own adventure style movies. You know, think about how we can explore different avenues in that direction. Think about how, you know, Roma is a foreign language film that got so much playtime. What's the last foreign language film that got that much accolade and that much attention? So they're bringing to light things that would otherwise not even be on the radar of most people.
Yeah.
And I think that is a crucial thing that Spielberg is completely overlooking.
Yeah, and I would agree as well. I like what you said. Anything that makes art easier to consume is probably a good thing.
Yeah. We need forces like that in our world. Things to bring art and entertainment to the masses.
Yeah.
You know?
The more you can streamline the processes for independent filmmakers, the better.
Yeah.
And I feel like Netflix and the streaming services allow that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, 110%. So, like I said before, I think Spielberg is on the wrong side of history here. I would go toe-to-toe with all my old grad school classmates that I would always argue, you know, it's not as dire as you make it seem. There's still a lot of great stuff out there all the time. You guys are just, you know, being a little too close-minded in the content that you want.
Do you think this is going to be the hill Spielberg dies on?
Maybe. He put out Ready Player One. Now, yeah. I haven't seen it, but I know what it's about. And it was a cash grab. It was a cash grab. So he can't stand there and try to elevate himself as some auteur when he put out Ready Player One. And it was the last... I mean, realistically, Rich.
Are you saying that in terms of all the 80s memorabilia and everything like that?
It was
just like pulling at their heartstrings, people that love the 80s?
Yeah, he cashed in on the trend of this nostalgia hype. You know? And, I mean, maybe he thought it was a good story to tell, but watching the trailers and seeing the reviews and seeing the press around it, the gist I got from it was that it was a narratively shallow, artistically shallow thing that relied solely on pop culture references and a huge marketing budget and all these things that he criticizes Netflix for. You know, he's tearing down the movie industry with quote-unquote schlock like that. You know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm some fine arts, you know, person over here, because I'm excited to go see Captain Marvel. You know, I couldn't care less about Roma, you know, but I really think that Spielberg is off base here. To get back to your question, is this the hill he dies on? Maybe. What has he done of note recently?
Yeah, probably Lincoln.
Compared to his work from the late 70s to the early 90s, what has he done?
Yeah, probably Lincoln is probably the only one that really stands out.
Yeah.
Catch Me If You Can, I also like that
Catch Me If You Can was good. It was good. But that was early 2000s.
Yeah.
That was you know, an eon ago in entertainment.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if this is indeed the hill that Spielberg dies on.
Well, what do you think? Is he going to die on the hill?
Because
I said probably.
What exactly? I don't know much about this whole... what is it called? The Academy Board of Governors?
Basically, what it is, from what I understand, it's like, imagine each branch has a governor, like their states. And Spielberg is the head of the director's branch. He represents the directors that are part of the Academy. And he is going to lead an initiative to try and bar streaming movies from competing in the Academy Awards, which I think is odd, considering it's the year that Roma got so far and so close to winning the big one. You know, why not last year or years? Why this year? So it's clear he has an agenda and that he just really hates Netflix. And it's like, you have to wonder why he hates Netflix so much. But anyway, to answer your question, yeah, so they're having this meeting in April and he's going to just put, like the NFL owners meeting, he's going to propose a rule change and they're going to vote on it. I don't know. I feel like your boy Martin Scorsese is doing a film.
Yeah, it's coming out on Netflix.
Pacino, De Niro, Harvey Keitel, Pesci.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and it's going to premiere on Netflix.
Yep.
So when you're drawing these lines, you got Alfonso Cuarón and Scorsese and Spielberg and Nolan, and it's like this major civil war type thing going on. I don't know. I think the Netflix side is... They're going to win.
I think so, too. So
I don't see... Like, I don't know. I guess it depends how scared the old white guys in the academy are.
Right. I don't know if... can they actually bar... would they have the power to actually be like, no more Netflix movies can win Oscars?
It would have to be on a rule technicality. So Netflix has always said that they will release day and date with the theaters. That means that Roma was available in... really select theaters in only LA at the same time that they premiered it on Netflix. And the reason why it was only select theaters in LA is because that's the rule. You have to be in theaters in LA or New York for, it's like, I think it's 2 weeks to be considered. And so they did. They were in, like, I think it was 120 theaters across the country, which is nothing, to be considered for the Academy Awards. And so they would have to try and get them disqualified based on those types of rules, to which I would respond, buddy, I do This Week in Entertainment every week. Do you know what I can't find playing in theaters? Best Picture nominees outside of Black Panther.
When I
was trying to research if Beale Street Could Talk, the only reason that I didn't feature that one, you want to know why? Couldn't find a theater within 100 miles that was showing it in our area.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that deserves to be there? When I go to research, I'm like, wow, this sounds great. I should probably talk about it. Could probably be in the awards buzz. Couldn't find anything. Couldn't find anything because it's not showing anywhere. So yeah. They're already abusing the system. Like, this is the thing that infuriates me. Spielberg is wrong. These independent movies are already abusing the system that Netflix is abusing. So what right does he have to say that Netflix is any less worthy of it than these other movies?
Yeah.
I'm like, I did not anticipate getting this heated over this topic, yeah. But you're going to say?
I would say that I understand where Spielberg's coming from with the quote-unquote death of the movie theater, and he's concerned about that, but this is taking the ball way too far, I think.
It is. It's a step too far. You can't fight these trends because the more you fight it, the more they're going to crush you under the
right.
heel.
This is the future. Look at
iTunes.
Yeah.
All the big music distribution people, they fought them.
And then Spotify. Yep.
You got to roll with the punches. You got to ride the tide, man.
Yep.
And this is going to be a battle for the ages. We'll see. We'll keep you posted.
We'll find out how this develops. But with that will wrap up the entertainment entree. Don't go anywhere though, because coming up next, I've got some odd news that you need to hear. I think you're going to laugh your ass off at a couple of these ones, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The crispy noodle, always crunchy.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. Hey, that is order.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree, and we're moving right along into the third and final portion of our show, where we've got some interesting news to talk about that you might not hear on the 11 o'clock news.
No, that's right. We bring you a completely different side to the news you need to know about.
That's right. We call it the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandata bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Woo, odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories and keeps them hidden from me, which ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen, you guys don't know what's about to happen, and even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths, and you know it's going to be good when Rich is already starting to like contemplate the stories. Yes. He's over there like twiddling his fingers and like laughing to himself, and I'm like, oh boy.
So this first story, I got to tell a side story that goes with this.
Okay.
Because you
tangent
know,
time
a little bit. I go to parties, you know, sometimes right. I'm out and about, and you know, sometimes somebody mentions, oh, Rich does a podcast. Oh yeah, well, you know, what do you do? Well, we do sports, entertainment, and odd news. So I'm at a party within the last week, and somebody says, "What's the podcast about?" And we do sports, Philly sports usually, entertainment, and odd news. And the moment I said odd news, he said, "I got a story." And I'm like, "Okay, what's the story?" And he says, "Have you heard about the about the people drinking the pee bottles?" And I
pee bottles.
And I heard that, and I said, "Who are they? What are pee bottles? And what story do you have that goes with
this?"
Oh
my God!
And he tells me that there is a fad going on where people who are desperate to get high are now drinking random bottles of urine because if you do drugs, sometimes the drug remains in the urine as it passes through the system.
Oh no.
So,
oh no, thank you.
I said, "No, I had not heard about this, but I'll save that one in the back of my head."
Oh my God.
So 50-50. I'm like, "Oh, that sounds a little too far-fetched, but maybe it could be right." Okay, a 50-50 shot. So I Google it and I see, can I find a hit on this? Can I find any sort of solid evidence on this?
Right.
I present to you New Mexico.
No.
Police in New Mexico have recently discovered that meth addicts are running, quote, urine extraction labs.
Wait.
To try and get more meth out of urine.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Yes.
No.
This is a thing.
No.
This is a thing.
No. I refuse to believe this is.
Yes.
So when you say a urine extraction lab, they mean that urine that's already been peed out.
Yes.
And they're, how do you extract meth from urine? Are they boiling it down? Are they like separating it chemically? Also,
yes.
How awful is it? You're like, "I have a chemistry degree. I boil pee for a living."
This
like
is
how,
what I'm dealing
how
with my life.
How far have you fallen where you are, one, involved in a drug operation, and two, your role in the drug operation is not something cool like an enforcer or like the head guy. You're not Walter White. You're boiling piss.
Yes. This isn't Breaking Bad.
What are you doing
this
with your
breaking
life?
Breaking piss.
Breaking piss.
Yeah.
This is not real. I refuse to believe that people are that desperate that they're trying to extract meth from urine.
Deputies opened up a smelly rented storage locker where they found 51-gallon jugs of urine.
I quit.
Police.
Are you 51 gallons?
No, 51-gallon jugs of urine.
Oh, 51 individual gallons of, oh my God. I don't know if that's better or worse.
I think that's worse.
I think that's worse. Now, what?
Yes, let me continue.
Okay, okay. I have so many questions.
Police had to throw away the contents. Apparently, this is the new this is the newest way to access meth, according to the police. Users either straight out drink the urine to get high,
God.
Or they use a cooking process that filters the drug back out of the urine.
No.
Yes.
No.
This is
somebody
this is
has
right.
their science wrong. Is that even possible?
Apparently, it is. Apparently, strong meth stays in your system and passes through your urine.
That is, and somebody out there decided I need meth so badly that I am willing to cook
urine.
Someone else's pee.
How do you even find that out?
Yeah. So that's one of my questions: is who pioneered this,
the research.
This research, yeah, was some guy just, you know what? Somebody, this is how it happened. I guarantee you, this is how it happened. Some meth head takes a piss. He's like, "Uh-oh, I'm out of meth." So he goes, "Oh, wait, I know.
I didn't flush it yet.
He goes, he gets a little teacup out of his cupboard because all meth heads have teacups, apparently.
Okay.
They're refined enough for that. He gets a teacup and he just dips it in the toilet, pinky up. Always.
Keep it fancy.
And he just tosses it back like a shot. Whoop, like that. And he's like,
This tastes good.
I can taste the meth. Like, how? How and why, and how and why again.
Yeah. Why is this a thing?
Why is this a thing, and how did it become a thing? And also, just to circle back to the 50 gallons, who do they got peeing for them?
Yeah.
Like, do they have a whole armada of pee people?
Yes, they call them up.
They call them up. We're like, we need your urine. Do people deliver their pee? Do they come to the facility and pee? Does it have to be sterile? You know what I mean? Like, do they have?
I don't think it has to be
do
sterile.
Do they have to do it in a clinical environment?
This was in a smelly rented storage locker.
No, I understand it's in a smelly storage locker, but how do they get the pee? How do they extract the pee for extraction?
Oh, there's pee in it.
No, I understand that. What I'm saying is, are they getting volunteers? Do they have people whose sole job is to pee and save it for this operation? Are they just recycling their own? They're using their own supply, and then they're just recycling it?
Yeah, can you do that? Is it self-sufficient?
Is it
going green?
Is it a perpetual meth machine?
Yeah. Are you just, does that work?
At first, I was grossed out and confused, but now I'm thinking, like, they're leading the charge for responsible...
Yeah, drug use,
yeah. They're recycling.
They're recycling their own urine.
But, like, this is what's so mind-bogglingly insane about this, is the steps to get to this point are so asinine.
Who found this out first?
Right. Exactly.
Yes.
Can you just perpetually create your own meth supply? Like, that is, I think that's how it started. Was somebody was like, I bet you I can drink my pee after I took my meth. I can drink my pee and get high again. And that's how it started. But, like, how do you know if it works?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the science on this is probably super sketchy.
Well, apparently it's solid enough that multiple people are using it.
Are you sure crazy people just aren't drinking pee and they think they're getting high?
Well, I don't know, because this story is in New Mexico, and then I had this guy at the party actually tell me about it here in Philadelphia.
Be honest. How much pee did that guy drink?
I don't know. But
I don't know who this guy is, but you need to tell me what is going on, guy. Tweet at the show.
Something is happening from coast to coast, from New Mexico to Philadelphia, where we're having people drinking urine to get high with meth.
I could never imagine. Just the thought of it grosses me out.
I think that's a good rule of thumb. If you have to drink urine to get high, you might have a problem.
Exactly. If that is what you're willing to do, you absolutely need to seek help.
Yeah.
I don't care about the drug problem. The fact that you're drinking pee is the real problem.
Yeah.
That's
what
gross.
Are you doing? Why are you cooking pee?
Oh, God, that must smell awful.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Urine extraction labs. So,
those people went the wrong route their science degrees.
Yeah, this is a real thing. I was like 50-50 on it. I was like, we'll see. And then I Google it.
I still don't believe it.
It's here. It's a real story.
That's wild.
Yep.
That's wild and highly offensive to the senses.
Yes. Dear God.
What are we coming to?
I'm gonna go out on a limb here. These guys have these guys have drug problems.
Drinking problems.
And drinking
too.
Problems. You know what you do? You have drinking and drug problems.
Because you're not drinking the right stuff.
Yeah.
51-gallon bottles. Are they 50 different people? Do they sort them by person? Like, this person took this, like, this strength or this purity, so it's organized, like, you know what I mean? Like, why?
Bob was only playing around with meth. This is probably a weak batch.
Well, you have to ask yourself, why 50 single-gallon containers? Yeah. Why don't they just all pour it into one giant vat? It's because they're separating it by user. By user, yeah. Oh, this is Bob's, you know, is it like wine? Do they age it?
Yes.
Like, is there a sommelier that comes around and they swirls it in a glass and goes, oh, yes, the pungent aroma tells me that this is Bob's 2016 select.
Mm, yes, you can have hints of meth and oak from when he ate the tree mistakenly.
He ate the tree? Yeah. And you can tell this was a dry month. He was not properly hydrated, so it has a pungent, bitter taste. Like, you know, like...
Yes. 50 different 1 gallon jugs of urine. Yep, real thing, folks.
Oh, this is very upsetting. This is very upsetting. You have no idea. All right.
All right. Yeah, what a way to start off the hot news, right?
Thank you, mystery party person, for... Yeah. Have you seen that new trend online? Thank you, I hate it.
No, I guess, but does this fall into this?
It's this thing that's going around on Reddit now where somebody will, like, post, like, a picture of something or say, like, oh, you realize this connection, and somebody will comment, thank you, I hate it.
Yeah, so there you go.
that's what I'm going through right now. Thank you, I hate it.
Yeah, thank you, random party person. Thank you, I hate it. Thank you for telling me about this. All right, let's go to Indiana in our next story here. This is adding insult to injury. A Indiana man who accidentally shot himself in the penis and scrotum. Turns out he did not have a handgun license and now could face criminal prosecution.
Oh, my balls!
This isn't entirely shocking.
Yes.
If you're accidentally shooting yourself, odds are you don't know how to use a gun. Odds are you don't have a proper
my balls!
Yep. According to cops, 46-year-old Mark Anthony Jones suffered an accidental self-inflicted gunshot injury while he was walking early Thursday morning.
He was just walking?
Yeah, just walking.
Wow. He's just walking around and the gun just goes off.
Oh, my balls!
Yeah, just like that. During an interview in the emergency room, Jones said that he was carrying a high .9mm handgun in his waistband when the weapon suddenly slipped.
You're not cool. You're not a gangster.
Yeah.
Don't carry it in your waistband. How dumb do you have to be?
Jones said that he reached down to adjust both himself and the gun. The gun was obviously not in a holster. That's when the firearm then discharged, and the bullet entered just above his penis and exited his scrotum, according to police.
Oh, my balls!
When they did a background on Jones, they found he did not have a state handgun license. So now investigators are trying to determine whether or not he's going to face further criminal charges due to this.
How vigorously was he adjusting that the gun went off?
Yeah, he might be doing something else different than adjusting himself.
Yeah, what is it? One shake is okay, two shakes is all right, but three shakes is playing with yourself?
Oh, my balls!
Yeah.
I think he was adjusting a little too violently.
One time, two time, three times you're masturbating.
There you go. That's what it was. Also, everything about this story makes this person sound like a complete douchebag.
Oh, yeah.
He's carrying it in his waistband like he's some type of thug.
Yeah, thinks he's a gangster.
Oh, I'm so big. I got to adjust myself so vigorously that the gun went off. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, you live in Indiana.
Yeah, you live in Indiana. You're compensating.
But yeah, so he might face criminal charges after this accident.
Good. Deserves it. Don't illegally carry guns and then accidentally shoot your junk off.
Yeah, that's usually a good rule of thumb.
Yeah.
Oh, my balls!
All right, next story. Ooh, here's somewhere we haven't gone in a while. We're going to Tennessee in the next story.
Ooh.
Yo, we're from Tennessee!
It's good to yell at people and tell them you're from Tennessee. That way you'll be safe.
Yeah, you'll be safe.
All right, yeah, Tennessee.
Unfortunately, though, this guy, not too safe.
Uh-oh.
A Tennessee man dipped his testicles in a salsa container that was later delivered to a low-tipping customer, according to a warrant in Tennessee.
Oh, my balls!
Yeah.
So many balls stories.
Yeah, what's happening here?
Oh, my balls!
March is the month of balls.
Oh, my balls!
Investigators allege that 31-year-old Howard Webb recently delivered a food order in Maryville, which is a city 20 miles south of Knoxville. As detailed in the criminal complaint, Webb was delivering an order from the El Jimador restaurant when Webb decided to place his testicles in a salsa container that was later delivered to a female customer who only gave him a tip of 89 cents.
Ooh.
Oh, my balls!
But
wait, did she give the tip afterwards, right?
Well, no, it was an online order thing.
Oh, so it was already, like, confirmed what the tip was going
to
be.
Right. So when he saw it was only 89 cents, he decided to go for it.
Okay.
Oh, my balls!
I was going to say, it's kind of a jerk move. He does that before he knows what the tip is going to be. But, yeah, that makes sense if it's an online order. Also, come on, you got to tip more than 89 cents.
Yeah,
that,
come on.
That's a jerk move.
Yeah. But here's where it gets even more stupider. Webb produced a video that showed him actually placing his testicles in the salsa container. While doing this, Webb declared, it stings my balls.
Oh, my balls!
The jalapenos.
Yeah. That's actually actual audio from this.
Oh, my balls!
According to the police department, the video was indeed posted on Facebook.
Why
would you do that?
Why? On so many levels. One, don't post a video of your balls on Facebook.
Yeah, nobody wants to see your balls on Facebook.
Two, literally nobody. Nobody wants to see that.
Yeah.
Two, why would you post a video of you dipping your balls in salsa? Three, why would you post a video of you dipping your balls in salsa that will directly lead to you getting in trouble at your job and criminally?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many reasons to not post this video. But he ignored all of them. He said, no, people need to see my salsa balls.
Yes.
That is what people come to Facebook for.
Yes, people need to see the salsa balls.
Is that Eminem?
Yeah, I almost forgot I had that. Yeah, salsa. Chinese Booker, another delivery driver, laughed at Webb's antics in the video. That's when she screamed, "This is what you get when you give 89 cents tip for a 30-minute delivery drive." So there you go. Really linking the pieces together now.
Yeah.
Police began investigating the food alteration after a dinner delivered representative tipped them to the online video that showed all of this. Booker and Webb have both been fired by the delivery firm. Webb was arrested on a felony charge of adulteration of foods, liquids, or pharmaceuticals.
Oh.
That's the official charge.
That's a charge we've never gotten before.
No, adulteration of foods, liquids, or pharmaceuticals.
Wow, like 300 episodes almost, and that's the first I've ever heard of that.
Yeah.
Wow, you learn something every day. Was it adulteration?
Adulteration of food?
Of food,
liquids, or pharmaceuticals.
Wow, I like that.
He's locked up in the county jail. He's being held in lieu of a $45,000 bail. So, yeah, I think it's good he's behind bars.
Yeah. And stop. Don't dip your balls in things.
That's gross. Go ahead if you want to, but don't post it on Facebook.
First, Rich, don't serve it to people.
Yeah, don't serve it to people.
You're skipping a very important part of this. You're like, totally glossed over that. Don't post it to Facebook. No.
Yeah,
don't
do that either.
Don't serve it to somebody.
Yeah, don't do that either. Sorry, I missed that today.
Rich is like, everything was fine until it hit the social media.
Yeah.
Don't
do that part either.
No, don't give people ball salsa.
Ball salsa? That
makes it sound so much worse, I realize that.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good at all.
Ball salsa. I like that song.
Yeah, there you go.
I've always liked Eminem.
I forgot I had that, salsa.
But anyway, so don't give people your ball salsa.
Yeah, not good.
And don't post it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see that, period, in the first... Maybe that one weird coworker of that guy.
Yeah, maybe the coworker does.
The coworker guy
does.
Was, like, keeping an eye out for those ball videos. He was like, oh, yeah. It's like, oh, Bob...
I'm the commentary.
The commentary.
Color commentary here.
There's some nice balls, Bob. And Bob's like, what?
Look at that splash hitting the salsa.
Look at that splash. Great form.
Great form. Great form.
That's an 8.2.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Repeat performance. Can't wait.
That's right. It's synchronized diving because there's two of them. Get it?
That's right. Yeah. they have to hit at the same time.
They have to hit at the same time. You can't have too much of a splash. They got to go in clean.
Yeah.
You know? How many turns are they doing in midair, though? That's the tricky part.
Yeah. They're going to have to work on the form.
Yeah. This is bizarre. Anyway.
Yep. after on that note, let's go to our obligatory Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Oh, yeah. There's always got to be a Florida story.
Of course. What do we got happening down there?
A Florida man took a stuffed animal off of a Walmart shelf, then used the stuffed toy to masturbate before returning the ejaculate-covered item back to the store shelf.
No. Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yeah.
This is a really gross odd news.
Yes.
You got people drinking pee. You got people giving other people ball salsa.
Yep. And now
this is so heinous.
Yep.
This is awful.
Yep.
This is terrible. This is like a horror story bad, man. He's jerking it with this stuffed animal.
Yep.
This poor kid's toy.
Yep. The repulsive episode occurred at 3 in the afternoon.
Well, of course it did.
At a Walmart in Brooksville, which is 50 miles north of Tampa. According to a police report, 19-year-old Sean Johnson, quote, selected a brown, tan, and red stuffed horse from the clearance shelf in the garden department. I don't know why that turned him on.
This just got even weirder.
Yes.
So, all right, the horse thing is weird. That's just weird on its own. But also, he found this in the garden department?
Yes.
That might be the weirdest thing.
Yeah, why are you in the garden department?
And why is there a clearance toy in the garden department? Because this was a toy, right? Am I understanding this correctly?
Yeah, it was a stuffed animal.
Stuffed animal. What's that doing in the garden section?
The kids got to do something while the parents are planning out the backyard. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know how Walmart puts things together.
This whole story from top to bottom is truly bizarre. But also, I feel like this is going to sound weird. I feel like there's probably better stuffed animals to do that with.
Are we going to analyze the stuffed animals that are available?
Like a horse? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Is that really what gets it done for him? Is a horse?
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
So he found the toy in the garden department. He then ran to the comforter aisle in the housewares section.
Oh, no.
That's when he proceeded to pull out his genitals. And then and then eyewitnesses said that he proceeded to hump the stuffed horse utilizing short, fast movements.
Why do they have to be that specific?
Yes, very, very specific.
That's super graphic. Why?
I don't know. This is in the police report.
The witness was like, make sure you get it down. It was short. And fast.
Yes.
It wasn't just short, and it wasn't just fast. It was short and fast movements.
Yes. I don't think this guy has ever had sex.
So he was humping it.
Yes.
Okay.
I
thought that he was, like, jerking with it.
No, he's physically humping it.
Okay. And he did this in the comforter section?
Yeah, in the houseware section.
This is way too elaborate. First off, he's looking for stuffed animals in a section that doesn't have stuffed animals. Then he takes it to another section.
Yes.
This is weird.
Well, he's next to towels, because this is the houseware section.
Right. Well, he doesn't need a towel. He's got the horse.
Oh, that's right. Well, I don't know.
That's why I don't understand what's happening. This is weird. Why don't you just go straight to the towel section and use a towel?
Well, the lewd act was captured on surveillance cameras.
Why do you need surveillance cameras when you have such impeccable eyewitness
reporting? Yeah, right? They didn't even need it. After Johnson achieved an orgasm...
That's so clinical.
He then placed the soiled stuffed horse on top of a bed in a bag comforter set.
Wow. That's so gross.
Wow.
It's like, there you go. It comes with the set.
Literally.
Yeah. Oh, ba-dum-tsh.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
So did he take it to the bedding section so he had something to, like lay down or, like, I don't, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, why he decided to go all the way over there. You know what I mean? Why couldn't he just do it where he was? Like, he found it, and he's like, one step closer.
He was going to put the stuffed animal to sleep.
He was going to tuck it in.
Yeah,
and,
you know, he had a rough night. Here you go.
That's weird.
This is a weird story. Johnson tried to flee the store before he could be apprehended by Walmart security, but Brooksville Police Department officers were able to catch up to him. In a written statement, Johnson admitted that, quote, yes, I did unmentionables to a stuffed animal.
Unmentionables.
I committed a horrible act, and I need to think before what I do. I'm extremely sorry.
No, he thought enough. Because he took it and he went to another section.
That's a yes.
Like this, there you go. That's actual audio from the Walmart.
Actual audio.
That's a yes.
This is the part that I can't stress enough because I don't... I hope that people are fully grasping this. He is in the garden section. He wants to have sex with this stuffed animal.
Yeah.
So he gets it, but he says, wait!
We need to make it more comfortable.
Exactly. He needs to find the appropriate setting. So he goes through the store with the express intention of having sex with this stuffed animal, but he needs to find the appropriate section first.
Yes, and he chose housewares.
There's a lot of thought that's going into this. This isn't spur of the moment, like he sees it, boom, he attacks it. No, he sees it, he thinks, wait, what section would be most appropriate? Ah, the bedding section. And then he walks over there. Maybe he gets lost. Maybe he has to ask a store associate, where's the bedding section? You know? Who knows? But that's the point I'm making, is that he said that he needs to think more. He thought plenty. He planned this whole thing out, Rich, from start to finish. He knew what he was doing. This was not a spur of the moment. This was not an act of passion. This was cold and calculated.
Well, not to him, because he obviously had a good time.
No, I mean, his planning of it was cold and calculated.
Right.
But he had some warm, tender loving.
Yes, exactly.
With that stuffed horse.
Yes.
With his fast and quick movements.
Right.
Or fast and quick, that's the same thing. Fast and short movements. What was it?
Short, fast movements.
Short, fast movements.
Yes. Johnson was charged with indecent exposure and criminal mischief and booked into the county jail. All of the merchandise that came into contact during this
was
deemed contaminated and not suitable for sale. So,
but what did they do with it? They donated it.
No, that's terrible. You're probably right. They probably have to burn it or something.
They have to
trash it and burn it. Yeah.
I hope they didn't just. Oh yeah. I hope they didn't donate it.
No, don't donate it. That's wrong.
That is repulsive.
Okay. Let's do. Oh, I know. I know. There's one accent that you love doing. And that is
it an Irish accent?
No.
Oh.
An Australia accent.
Oh, good day, mate.
Yeah.
Throw some shrimp on the barbie.
Yes.
Laundry day is a very dangerous day.
I knew you would like that. So we're going to Australia in this story. A man in Perth, Australia, found himself in a dangerous situation after he accidentally superglued himself to his homemade coffee table.
What?
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Yeah. See, this is, Mike, this is what happens when you don't read the instructions.
Yeah. I just love the image of this guy. I just been like, uh-oh. This is really bad.
That's it. Just, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
What did he super glue to the coffee table? Was it like a hand, a foot? Did he super glue? Was he sitting on it? Like, I just... This is just, I really like this.
Okay, so apparently he was free enough that he was able to type up a post on a local subreddit.
Oh my God.
Yes.
This is ridiculous.
He wrote, quote, I wanted a nice shiny coffee bar countertop. So I cut and sanded and stained it all nice and I applied a coat of epoxy resin on Thursday night. It was supposed to set hard in 24 hours. So tonight, after having a shower, I came to check on it. I wrapped my fingers on it, and it sounded like hard plastic, so I thought it was set. I was curing it in the living room because it's the least dusty place. I just happened to sit down on it while I was reading the instructions that came with the epoxy, wondering if I should give it another coat. When I was done reading the instructions, I realized I couldn't stand up.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
So this man,
hold on,
has his bare ass on the stuck to the coffee counter.
That's what I wanted to ask. He totally just sat down on this coffee table with his bare ass.
Yes.
Why?
He just wanted to sit down somewhere, and he chose
you
this.
You were that tired? You couldn't put on some clothing or just continue standing for 5 seconds? He just had to sit with his bare ass on the coffee table.
Yep.
That's a little weird to me.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
You know what? He was probably really tired. He was exhausted from putting this coffee bar together.
Didn't he say he got out of the shower?
You know what? You're tired after the shower.
So what? He takes off. He's in the living room and he's like, I'm going to read these directions. But in order to do that, you need to take the towel off. Sit down bare-assed on the coffee table.
Right, you're going to be naked while you're reading the instructions.
But, like...
You put together furniture, don't you do it naked?
I was fully clothed.
Oh, all right, I thought maybe...
Except when I needed a hammer something, you know.
You got naked?
Well...
Yeah, there you go.
You know.
Good job. Good job, Mike.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic. Oh,
God, that's bad.
Yes.
No, you gotta...
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
No, you gotta be clothed. You don't wanna, you're dealing with packing material and, you know, tools and stuff. You don't want any accidents to happen. But this guy's just dumb. Why would you sit bare ass on your coffee table? Go put some clothes on.
No.
Why?
This is
no,
Australia.
This is America, damn it. No. This is Australia, damn it. That's not an Australian accent. I can only say three sentences in Australian. And that's
this
not
is
one.
Australia, mate. You do whatever you want.
Oh, I don't know.
You literally just added mate to the end of it.
There you go. That makes it Australian.
You're like, this is Australia, mate.
Mate. Do what you want, El.
Oh, my God.
All right, so the subreddit came together to help him.
Yeah, so how do you get out of that situation?
You
just peel your ass
off. Do you have
a
guess?
Probably like boiling water or
nope.
I don't know. Like peel your ass off. No, rubbing alcohol.
Nope.
I have no idea.
Apparently,
a chisel.
No. Apparently, the cure for this. I guess this is good to know. Just FYI,
in case you super glue your bare ass to the coffee table.
Right. In case you
like an idiot.
Right. In case you glue your ass somewhere. The answer is pickle juice.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Why? The vinegar?
I guess so. So he walked over to the fridge, found his jar of pickles.
He had to take the whole coffee table with it?
Yeah, I mean, he's stuck.
How big is the coffee table?
It's pretty. Like, I mean, it's a coffee bar.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
So
he's just waddling through
He waddles over to the refrigerator.
Dragging this massive piece of furniture behind him.
Yeah.
Just screeching it across the floor.
Yep. He says that, quote, I guess the gods are good and kind because I was able to make it to the fridge where my pickles were. And that was when I pulled out the gherkin juice and it worked.
The gherkin juice?
The gherkin
that
juice.
That just sounds so weird.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic. It
does sound a little erotic.
Yes.
It's like, let me give you my gherkin juice.
Yeah, give me that gherkin juice.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to pour the gherkin juice on me tonight. You want to come over?
Oh, that sounds awful. So he poured his gherkin juice all over himself.
Yep, and it worked. He was able to pull himself off. He says that my ass hurts, but I'm going to bed happy.
But now he's got an ass print on his table.
At least he's off of the damn... A coffee table. He
would have been
stuck on there.
It would have been really awesome if he's like dragging this coffee table attached to his ass through his house, apartment, place, whatever. And he's like trying to go from the living room to the kitchen, but the doorway isn't wide enough. And he gets stuck, you know, like boom. You know? That would have been awesome.
Well, luckily he was able to get to the refrigerator and find that gherkin juice. So there you go. Always keep pickled juice. Somewhere in the house. Always have a jar of pickles.
But also, don't sit down on your coffee table that you just freshly applied super sticky material to. Don't sit on that with your bare ass.
Yeah.
Also,
that'd be bad.
If you're going to read directions, like, this is what I don't understand. Like, he's going to read directions. For what purpose?
He wanted to check if he needed to do another coat.
And he was going to do that in the nude?
Sure.
After getting out of the shower?
Mike, you put together furniture. I'm surprised you don't do this nude.
What happens if he drops some of the epoxy on him?
Then...
What happens if it splashes?
Oh,
you gotta have...
We're good. We got pickle juice. We're all good.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
That's not how this should work.
No clothes and pickle juice. Those are your two requirements for putting things together.
In the front of the IKEA manual, it's just a picture of like clothes with a big X through it.
Yeah, no clothes needed.
And then a picture of a pickle jar and an Allen wrench. You're like, this is going to be a wild time.
There you go. Make sure you have that pickle juice.
I've never built bookshelves like this before, but let's give it a shot.
There you go, Mike. I'm trying to get you on the new path here. This is the new way of...
This is the new trend.
Yes, the new way of putting furniture together.
Furniture assembly in the nude.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's the new hot thing.
Just make sure you keep pickle juice nearby. Right. Or sorry, gherkin juice.
Yes. Some sort of pickle juice.
Oh, wow.
All right, and I got one last story here for you.
All right, what do you got?
This is kind of funny just to imagine. But a grandmother was almost washed out into the Icelandic sea while she was posing for photos on an iceberg throne because a large wave started to dislodge the chunk of ice she was standing on. And she drifted away from the shore.
Yes.
Yes. So she was taking a photo and the chunk of ice cracked and she drifted away into the Icelandic sea.
Oh, man. That is intense. Forever this way, you are safe in my heart, and my heart will go on.
Yep.
So beautiful.
The family can laugh about it now. Catherine Strang received several text messages and photos from her father about this trip to Iceland with his mother that detailed the grandmother's misadventure. They shared the story on social media, of course.
Of course.
Catherine Strang wrote alongside some photos, quote, "My grandmother almost got lost at sea in Iceland today. The funny yet scary images show the gray-haired woman sitting on a chunk of ice in the shape of a lounge chair. So they took that first photo and they thought everything was funny. Then another image shows that the elderly woman still sitting on the iceberg was floating away into the Icelandic waters.
Oh, my God.
Luckily...
How slow were these people to react?
Yeah, I guess like, they didn't realize it's cracking. Like you didn't hear...
Right, you don't hear a cracking. She's not going, whoa, this feels unsteady. All of a sudden...
Well, no, she's sitting down, so she's fine.
Yeah, but I assume like the water is like choppy maybe... It's cracking under her. She's not feeling it. She's not saying anything. They're not hearing anything. They're just watching this happen in slow motion. Icebergs are not quick. And so they're just watching it happen.
Oh, these icebergs are quick now.
They're quick now?
Yeah, they run the 40-meter dash pretty fast now.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Sub 4-4?
Yeah, right. Literally sub 4-4.
Yeah. We're going to make that iceberg a running back in the NFL.
Right. It'll probably do some damage.
There you go. Well, yeah, it'll just...
It'll sink...
Truck over people.
Yeah. I'm trying
to think of a fun...
It'll sink the Titans.
Sure.
It's the closest thing to Titanic.
They're just going to rename themselves the Titanics. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense. Why would they play into the pun? This universe is weird.
No, but, yeah. Anyway.
Well, our universe is weird, too, because this family let this granny sail out to sea on an iceberg.
Bye!
Bye, yeah, that's right.
You're on your own. Bye!
They had to have seen it or heard it happening. I can't imagine that they'd be standing there and just be totally oblivious to this. I think this was scripted.
What, they were trying to kill granny?
No, not kill. I think they were trying to script it for 15 minutes of fame.
Well,
I bet you. You're telling me ice is loud when it cracks.
Yeah.
Haven't you ever seen videos of like lakes and like stuff cracking? Like it's loud. And you're telling me you're sitting on this thing in this water and you're not feeling it like rock. And then it breaks off. You're telling me you don't have a second or two where you like reach out and grab her. It just breaks as she starts drifting. And you're like, oh, well.
Yep. Sorry.
She's
bye.
Had a good run.
Yeah. It's a grandmother. Yeah. She's at the end of her life anyway.
I bet you this was all staged. You don't think so?
I don't know. The woman was rescued by another tourist nearby who happened to be a boat captain. He went into the water to grab the grandmother. The iceberg was shaped like an easy place to sit on. The grandmother said, I think this looks fun. But when the grandmother got on, she said that it started to totter.
See?
And a wave was coming in. A very large wave officially made it break. That's when she said, I could tell it was slipping off. But I decided that it was easier to float than try and jump off of the ice. Oh, that's a good point.
I guess.
She is a grandmother.
What's
she
the family doing?
I guess they're...
They're just shooting photos the whole time.
You're right. Yeah, they're far away trying to get the perfect shot.
Well, framing is very important.
Right.
You know, so, you know, they were more concerned about the lighting and the framing. They weren't focusing on whether or not Granny was going to die to the Arctic-ass Icelandic seas.
I'm going to go with this is real. This sounds like some, like, this sounds like a millennial just like, I'm going to focus more on the social media picture than the fact that my grandmother is actually in perilous danger.
Right. There's, like, which filter am I going to use? And the granny's like, help!
Help me!
She's singing My Heart Will Go On, and they're trying to select the appropriate, like, lens flare, you know?
Yeah. Which filter is it? Help! Oh, the help filter?
I don't
know.
I have that one. Is that new?
Yeah.
I hate that line in the song. There's nothing I fear. You're on a boat that's sinking. There's everything to fear.
Yes. Everything.
Stupid. I hate everything about Titanic except for Kate Winslet's boobs.
Yeah. All right, Mike.
That's really the only reason to watch it. Everything else is dumb.
I like it. But, you know, I like the fact that you specifically mentioned Kate Winslet's boobs.
That's the only thing I can remember from it. Weird. And the fact that there was clearly enough room on that door.
We are simple men.
Yeah, that's right. I see boobs. I say, hey, can't be that bad.
Very good. Very good.
And that's a lesson you can take with you to the bank.
Yes. And on that note, that's how we're going to end the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. Good job, Mike.
Thank you. I try.
All right. Well, before we officially wrap up the episode, let's go over all that we've learned in what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
If boobs are involved, it can't be that bad.
That's right. Yeah.
Might as well give it a shot.
Boobs are nice.
Boobs, yes. Specifically, Kate Winslet's in Titanic. It's really the only reason to watch that movie. The casting list should have been Kate Winslet's boobs, some guy named Leonardo DiCaprio. There you go. That's how it should have been billed.
Don't forget Billy Zane.
Sure. Anyway.
Yes.
I also learned assembling furniture in the nude is a hip new trend.
Yeah.
I never realized. I did it all wrong.
Right. You've been doing it all wrong this whole week.
You know, I got to disassemble those pieces of furniture I assembled and then redo it in the nude, and they'll come out even better.
Right.
That makes perfectly logical sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. There you go. I also learned that people are drinking pee to get meth.
I learned that too.
Which is highly upsetting.
This is real.
I don't want to believe it's real, but it's too weird to not be real.
It's a thing.
That is very upsetting. And I want that random person that brought it up to you at that party to get in touch with us and explain how and why you know this. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
These are the people I hang with.
Yes, the pee drinking people.
Yes.
Rich, do you have something you want to say?
I'm a little thirsty.
I also learned, finally, don't give people ball salsa.
Yeah, that's not good.
And also, ball salsa is a totally gross term.
And don't post it on Facebook.
Yes,
what
stop
are you doing?
Posting your crimes on Facebook. How many times we got to say it? If you do the crime, don't post about it.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Right. I really don't want to see it. I don't care.
Exactly.
And there you go. That's what we've learned in this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Oh, man. And there you go, folks. Another great episode of the Chris Mandel Podcast in the books. Thank you for joining us this week. If you like what you heard, make sure to go to our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, search The Crispy Noodle. Find us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle. And follow us on Instagram, at The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find videos, best bits, interviews, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, the best bits of the show, shrunk down into a quick 2-minute promo that you can easily listen to with friends and family and your random meth urine dealer. The craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Does he just pee into a bottle for you? I'm confused as to how this works.
Right. They listen to the podcast and they pee right into the bottle. It's great.
That's weird. But if that's what you're into, that's what you're into. Let us know individually on Twitter. You can find me at Mikey Costanzo, M-I-K-E-Y-C-O-S-T-A-N-Z-O. If I could spell my name.
Yeah.
It's one of those nights. It's one of those nights. I got Kate Winslet's boobs on the mind.
That'll do it.
You can't spell with those things out there.
That'll do it. Do I have to check your internet search history?
Well, I use incognito tabs, Rich, so you won't find anything.
All right, clever.
There you go. Anyway, Rich, where can people find you on the Twitters?
I am at Rich Liebig, R-I-C-H-L-I-E-B-I-G. Yeah, find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening. If you have content that you want us to talk about on the podcast, you know, send it our way on Twitter, and we'll take it under advisement. We might mention it. We might give you credit. So let us know if you have something that you want us to talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about your weird pee drinking habits, mysterious party goer.
Literally, I was at a party and this guy told me about it.
I don't know who you are or where you're from, but you're now a pee drinker in my mind. I apologize, but you can't just hit us with that stuff and not be labeled that way.
Yes, so there you go. Let us know if there's any other wacky crimes you know about. But for now, we got to wrap this up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, it is I, your good friend and former President Barack Obama. It's been a while. I'm joined by the leader of the ghost clergy, Cardinal Copia.
How you doing, United States of America?
Well, I'm well, but now you may be asking yourself,
why are we here?
Well, it's 2019 and nothing makes sense anymore. But anyway, in my retirement and during his infernal time away from the clergy, we've both been listening to a few podcasts.
Ones that will make the asses wobble.
Yes, those are good ones, but we also need ones that bring us hope and change. One in particular with sports, entertainment, and odd news.
You give them a listen and a clappity-clap, yes?
Yes, a round of applause for our favorite podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2019!